I'm Megan Hillica, a mother to a large family, a wife, business owner, homeschooling mom, and this podcast shows you how to find joy in motherhood, even when it's busy, overwhelming, and chaotic, so that you can have peace, energy, and be the mom you thought you would be. We'll talk about mental health, business, homemaking, marriage, raising kids, and more, all the ups and downs that a mother might experience in her life as she raises her family. This is the Joyful Mom Podcast. Welcome to the Joyful Mom Podcast. Today, I have Kelly Lyons, who I met through a coaching program that I am in as well as her. But Kelly has some amazing experience that I want to bring to you on the podcast today. So welcome, Kelly. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Hey, Megan. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So can you start by just sharing who you are, who you help, what you do?
Yeah, a little bit absolutely. About yourself. Yeah. So again, as Megan said, my name is Kelly Lyons. And what I do is I am a binge eating coach and an eating psychology coach. So I help women stop binge eating and stop overeating so they can feel in control around food. So the reason I do that, and I'm sure we'll get into this, but I struggled with this for a really, really long time. And my goal is to now help women all over the world get out of that cycle that so many of us are stuck in. And like, unfortunately, we're stuck in silence usually. So that's my goal. And that's how I help people.
Yeah. And I love when you say stuck in silence, because it is kind of like a, if you were experiencing it, kind of like a scary thing to share, maybe like be like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. So can you share about sharing your story, sharing that you dealt with this? You know, like I can imagine that was scary to start with for you to even, you know, acknowledge this is what I've been dealing with. This is how, because in order to share your story and help people, you have to start with being vulnerable and sharing about your own experience. So can you share about your story, kind of how you got to here?
Yeah, absolutely. So first things first, I am an open book, but I was not like this. I was not like this for a very long time. So when I started, to be honest, I had no idea that there was an actual term for it. So I started and I struggled for well over 12 years. And I started in high school. So what happened to me was my senior year, basically everybody was like knowing where they wanted to go, what their next step was, what they were going to major in. And I felt really, really lost and alone. And I was very involved in varsity soccer and varsity softball. And those two sports ended. And I felt like I had nothing. Like I didn't know my next step. I didn't know my next chapter. And it was really lonely and it was really isolating. And from being so active to coming home, and I would just like eat because I felt so alone and desperate and I didn't know what to do. And I would eat and eat and eat and eat. And no one was home, right? My parents were still at work and I had my license. So then I would go out, buy all the food. And so it's like, it's never happened. And it like, once I came to after what I was doing, I was like, oh my God, I need to stop this. And that's how I went on my first diet. And my first diet was Weight Watchers. And if anyone out there does Weight Watchers and it works for them, I'm so happy for you. And that's incredible. And I love that you found what works for you, but it did not work for me. And that first diet sent me into like this black hole of food obsession and yo-yo dieting and waking up in the morning saying I was going to eat perfect and get on track and follow all the rules and lose all the weight, to binging and hitting multiple drive-throughs like days or not even hours later. And it was this cycle that I was stuck in for 12 years. And it was like, everybody saw me as like this healthy diet. I mean, I even like worked at a gym, right? I was working out 3 times a day, but nobody knew what I was struggling with. And it wasn't until I stopped dieting and I learned how to listen to my body and I changed my thought patterns. And I basically did the opposite of what diet culture tells us to do. That is when I healed, but it took me a really, really long time. And like I said, I'm an open book now, but I wasn't for so long. It was like I was almost living this double life. And yeah, that's my story. And now I have a membership of over 1,200 women that are getting through this, that are able to, eat when they're hungry, stop when they're full. They're able to address and express their emotions rather than turning to food. They're able to have a good relationship with food for their children and the people they love. So, I always used to wonder, why is this happening to me? Why don't I know how to eat? Where did this thing go that like all people can pretty much do? Why can't I do it anymore? And it's incredible now to be like, okay, that's why that happened. Because now I get to be the person that I wish I had when I was struggling. So that's a very long-winded answer, Megan.
Yeah,
But
no, that was great. Yeah,
that's
thank you. Thank you for
okay.
sharing that. And I
Yeah.
know, it's a process and a journey to get to this point where now you are an open book and you share so much about it. And and then when you share and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many people dealing with this or struggling with this who feel so alone, then it feels even like better or greater that, okay, my story needs to be shared and I need to talk about this even more. Do you think when you were struggling with this, say in high school or in those 12 years that you shared about, were you aware that it was from this loneliness or from this emotion or from, or was it just like, what is happening to me? Why is this happening? Why am I going back and forth and what you call yo-yo dieting, going to these two extremes kind of, where you're like, what is happening to me? We're like, okay, yeah, I know that I'm sad. I know that I'm, don't know what to do next or
No,
any of that.
that is such a good question. And it's funny because like me looking at it now from a 30,000-foot view, I'm like, oh, that's why I did it. That's why it happened. But I didn't know. I wasn't able to really, yes, like could I say on the surface I was emotionally eating? I was eating because I was stressed. I was eating because of whatever. But underneath the hood, I wasn't able to make those two correlations. And I wasn't able to say, well, okay, if this is why it's happening, let me focus on that and then let go of the food. Instead, it was, I have no willpower. I can't stop eating. There's something wrong with me. I need to eat more salad. I need to eat less carbs. I can't go out to dinner. I got to get, dressing on the side. I have to bring a tablespoon to the restaurant. Like, it was like the only way I'm going to fix this is more food rules and working out harder and working out more and trying harder and more willpower. And in reality, that is what made it all worse because I was doing the thing to try to fix something, but that was the thing that caused the problem in the first place. And I wasn't able to make that connection. And I feel like so many people who struggle, yes, you can say that we know why we do it, but if we're not able to address the root cause and actually let go of what diet culture is telling us, because sadly it's everywhere and it has a really, really strong grip on the majority of women, which is terrible, right? Until we're able to kind of like put our blinders on and let that go, we are so many of us are going to be in that cycle for so long.
Yeah, and like how consuming is that cycle?
Oh my gosh,
Like on the mind and mental energy and thought energy and
and
all of that.
it's so funny you say that because when I was I really didn't see it. I see it now as a mother of two young ones, but so many women that I work with, they'll come out and be like, I was able to end a toxic friendship. I was able to ask for a promotion or throw my name into the hat or whatever it's called, throw my name into the ringer for a promotion at work. I am able to meet my needs more. I'm communicating better with my partner. And we don't realize that when we change our relationship with food and when we are able to stop having our brain focus on what we're eating, what we're not eating, what we ate yesterday, what we have to eat in 3 days, we have so much more brain power for things that actually matter in life. So I think one of the most beautiful ripple effects there is how your life elevates in so many ways. I can't tell you how many moms have said, like, I am so present with my children because I am not worried about what we're eating, right? And it just makes such a difference in not just your health and the way you see yourself and your body image, but literally every aspect of your life improves when you actually can focus on things that actually matter to you.
Absolutely. I 100% agree, especially if so much energy is put into focusing on food and obsessing over food. And if all of that just disappears, suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, I can focus on this. I can, I don't even have to think about that anymore. So I think
I can
that's
expand my,
amazing. Yes.
I can expand my career. I can find new hobbies. I can make new friends, or like I can do self-care without, beating myself up and actually enjoy it. It's the ripple effect is just so amazing.
Yeah, completely. I agree. So, what is binge eating? Because somebody listening might not know what it is. They might not know that they are experiencing it, just kind of thinking, something's wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Whatever. What is it? And how does somebody know that they're doing it?
Yeah, so the one thing I want to say is because sometimes people say like binge eating and overeating are the same and they're not. So the difference is binging is eating a very, very large quantity of food in a short period of time. But one thing that I want to really like hone in on is the behaviors around the way we are doing it. So for example, let's say you're out to dinner and you overeat. Right, which we all have. We may feel full, we may not feel great. We make the joke we have to unbutton our pants, all well and good, right? A lot of times, what people who struggle with binge eating will do is they will eat in secrecy, they will eat in private, and they will shovel. It's not a matter of eating, a big pasta dish at a restaurant. It's inhaling food at a very, very fast rate. And it's almost like you're doing it to push something down. And the reason why the majority of us do it kind of really fall into three different really, really large umbrellas, whether it's restriction, whether it's emotionally driven, or whether it's habit driven. But the biggest indicator is the behavior at which you're doing it. So in secret, in private, if you're hiding things, if you're eating at a really, really fast rate, and obviously the quantity of food is very, very large, and doing this over a long period of time. I help women that don't necessarily have the diagnosis of binge eating disorder. I always like to, refer people if they feel as though they've been doing it at that level. But there are people who struggle with binge eating and who feel out of control around food and they feel like they can't stop eating once they start. That's really what the big difference is here.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. And if somebody is experiencing it, would you say that they tend to think something like I'm broken or there's something wrong with me or something along those lines of like, what's my problem? Why can't I get a grip on myself? What do you say to them? Are they broken? Is there something wrong with them?
No, not
Let
at
them
all.
know.
Because if you were broken, then we would all be broken. No, you are not broken, and there is nothing wrong with you. What is happening? And again, everybody has a different situation, but a lot of the times is a big reason why it's happening is because we are following a diet, because we are following diet culture rules. There are studies on when you restrict and when you go on a diet, and restriction is any way of like whether it's counting calories or restriction in any way, shape, or form, whether it's food, numbers, weighing everything, not eating, certain food groups, that level of restriction will literally drive your body to crave foods because it's thinking it's going into starvation mode and you are literally not able to stop once you start. And there is nothing wrong with you. And one of the reasons so many of us are stuck is because we're focusing on trying to fix the food, right? Using more willpower, like I said earlier, following more rules, working out harder. And if we just follow the rules a little bit harder, then we're going to be fixed. But all you're doing is guaranteeing that another binge is going to happen, right? And once you realize, hey, it's actually not me, I am in a system that is designed to keep me stuck, then it's almost like, okay, the we can kind of like let go a little bit of the self-hate and the judgment and the guilt. And again, those are some of the biggest emotions that drive binge eating. So if you're going to eat and then feel bad about yourself and beat yourself up, then you're just going to do it again. So we blame ourselves, but in reality, we're just doing what we were taught, sadly.
Yeah, and that healing or that release from it never comes from the shame or the beating ourselves up. Like it, this, we have this idea as a society that like the more we yell at ourselves or the more we like whatever, that we'll maybe we'll do it different or we'll show up different, you know, but that doesn't
Yeah,
ever
like,
do anything.
oh, absolutely. We think we can like bully ourselves into a smaller jean size, right? Like that we can hate ourselves enough to finally motivate us to do the thing. And yeah, that will work short term, right? We may eat healthy for a couple of days, or we may get into like a short term exercise routine. But in reality, that is not making permanent lasting change. That will work until you have a slip up, and then you're just going to have that guilt and shame cycle all over again.
What advice do you have for somebody who is in like feeling that shame or embarrassment or those really strong emotions that make them want to hide and want to not tell anybody and not want to talk about it? What would you say to someone
I
experiencing
think,
those?
yeah, I think the first thing that I would say is just one, offer my love and support and let them know that they are not alone, because this struggle is so isolating, because not only is it something that you're usually doing in private, if you were to speak to someone, a loved one, not everyone, but many people don't understand it because it's not talked about a lot. And it's really hard to explain to people who don't struggle. And I know that from experience, because I told people I love and they told me, well, just stop eating. Thanks. And
You're like, yeah, that's why I'm telling you about
right.
it.
And
You
then it
know,
actually,
it
yeah.
doesn't
And it's
help.
right. And it makes you feel worse, because you're like, well, duh, why can't I do that? Right. So I think the first thing is I would tell them that they are not alone and there are other people who struggle. And you know, I think too, one of the first steps that you can take is just start to be aware of your thoughts. Start to be aware of the way you're thinking about food and the way you're speaking around food, because we cannot change what we aren't aware of. And so many times our food habits and the things that we do and the things that we say and the way we get triggered, they're on autopilot. And unfortunately, we don't even realize we're doing it until like the bag of Doritos is empty, right? And that's for everything. That's not just with food. So being aware and just kind of like looking at yourself in a non-judgmental way, so you can see, wow, I noticed I thought this, or I did this, or I said this about myself. And then it's like, okay, well, is that serving me or not? And then you can start to make the small steps to change.
Yeah, I like that because without awareness, no change can happen. Let's talk for a moment about moms who experience maybe the stress or overwhelm of raising kids. And you know, there's like this joke about moms hiding in the pantry, you know, eating food and trying to, you know, it's like a way of managing the stress and the emotions
Totally.
and all of the stuff that comes up in motherhood. What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that's a real thing, and I call it rage eating, because you're literally like so angry and it's like you don't want to take it out on your children. I think the first things first is that motherhood is one of the hardest things that any person will ever do in their entire life. And I think it is not noticed enough, and we are not given enough grace. And I want to say it is so common in motherhood. Like, yes, I didn't have this struggle in motherhood, but so many people do in my, you know, in my community and, you know, just everyone I talk to. And one of the big reasons is because we are just constantly giving to others. We are giving to our partner. We are giving to our children. We are giving to our career. And we have a million balls in the air and we are juggling and we are the last thing on the list always. And I'm not talking about like our physical, I'm talking about like our mental health, taking care of us, resting when we need to, getting sleep, you know, not having mom guilt, which weighs on us all the freaking time. And it's like when we have no self-care, when we have nothing for us, and we are constantly putting ourselves last, we are going to find that comfort in food. We are going to search for food for the me time when the kids go to sleep, right? And I think as mothers, one of the most important things we can do is find the time to take care of ourselves. And I'm not saying like go get a massage, go get a facial, even like 15 minutes of just soul alone time when things get hard. And understanding that, like, hey, if I'm having a hard time, taking a break and putting the TV on for 10 or 15 minutes so I can just breathe, that's okay. And we constantly give and give and give and give and give. And when we have nothing left, we are going to reach for food. And it's so common and it's so normal. So if that's you, again, there is nothing wrong with you. But my question to you is, how are you taking care of yourself? And sadly, many moms aren't.
Yeah, it seems to be like, because as soon as moms start taking care of themselves, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm taking time away from my kids, or I'm not putting attention there, or I'm ruining my kids' life because I'm stepping out for a moment. Like, we can have those kind of thoughts that if I'm doing this, I'm taking away from my kids' life, or I'm raising my kids for only a short period of time. I can give everything to them right now. And it's like, well, I mean, in the meantime, you also got to take care of yourself. I like that.
Absolutely. And I feel like, I'm not sitting here. Of course, I have mom guilt, right? But at the
Yeah.
same time, yes, you're not taking care of yourself, but then how are you showing up for your children? Right?
Yeah.
Like, I notice when I am taking care of myself, I am a much better mom. And it took
Yeah.
me a while to get there. And I still struggle with that. We all do, right?
Yeah.
But it's just the awareness of, okay, what am I doing or not doing to myself? What need isn't being met in my life that I'm finding in food?
Yeah. Because if we think about it, when you w would you say from your perspective that food is like a, would you call it like a coping mechanism, or a way to manage, a way to function and manage and deal with what's actually going on? Would that be correct from your perspective of how you see things?
Oh, absolutely. I think people use it for different reasons, but a lot of
Yeah.
times it's a response to an unmet need
Yeah.
and it's a coping mechanism and it's used to comfort or numb or a lot of times avoid. For me, I really, really, one of the things is like I struggled with anxiety, right? And eating would be a way to push down the uncomfortable feeling of anxiety. So depending on what you use it for, 100% coping
Yeah.
mechanism. It's a response to a need not being met. It's used in so many different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kelly, is there anything else that you feel like is like, we didn't share this, we didn't talk about this? We'll go into your membership in a little bit, but anything else that you think somebody who's listening would be a benefit for them to hear?
Yeah, I think, the one thing I want people to realize is you can eat in a way where you don't have to feel shame and guilt with everything. And if you are following a certain way of eating and it makes you feel good, that's wonderful. And that is the goal, right? I'm not coming up here saying like I'm anti-diet and I'm anti this and I'm that. It is okay to want to feel good in your skin. It is okay to want to look good naked, whatever that is for you. What's not okay is the way we treat ourselves going about it. What's not okay is the way we speak to ourselves and put ourselves down and look at ourselves with shame and disgust in the mirror. So I know I said having awareness was step one, but that's also step one. Speaking to yourself kindly, I think, is a really, really big one that goes so unnoticed. And it's for some reason, it's really hard to do.
Well, and wouldn't you say that sometimes people aren't even aware that they're not speaking to themselves kindly, so they have to become aware first of that, those thoughts and the way they're even talking to themselves, because it can become so automatic without even knowing that that's happening.
Yeah, we put ourselves down so other people won't put us down. It's almost like a guard, right? Even though we're the only ones hurting ourselves subconsciously.
Yeah. So Kelly, you are currently in, you mentioned like 1200 women in your membership and helping people every single day with this. Can you share a little bit about your membership, what people can expect in there, what happens in there?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my membership is called Food Freedom Society. And what it is a community where women can come together, like I said, to stop binge eating and stop overeating and just fall in love with their life again. And they have online programs inside the membership. But the beautiful thing is, like, women can finally find people who get it, right? We have weekly coaching calls, we have challenges, we have events, and it's really just a place for women to share their struggles, but also share their wins. When you're coming in and you're like, oh my gosh, I stopped myself mid-binge, or, I didn't eat after the kids went to sleep, people who don't struggle with this would be like, great, Awesome. But like you now have a place where people can cheer you on fully and help you keep going. And all these women have a common goal, and that's why they're so successful. So it is truly like I feel as though besides being a mother, my life's purpose changing this for women because I know how hard it is.
And I love that. A lot of times the things that we do to help others are the things we struggled with so
Yeah,
much
absolutely.
ourselves. And like you said earlier, that's the gift that experiencing this has given you to give to other people.
Yeah, I'm so
So
lucky.
yeah. Thanks for sharing everything you've shared, Kelly. It's been such a treat to talk with you, to have you on. I have a few questions that I ask at the end. So one of the questions is, what is something that is currently bringing you joy in your life right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. What is something that is currently, I'm trying to think of something creative. I'm really not that creative. I'm a very, very simple person. What is something that's bringing me joy? I think my son right now, he just turned 4, and I am noticing how he is now like a big kid. And I am just noticing all these changes in him. Like he's turning into like this little buddy that I can hang out with. And just watching us, like his birthday was recently, and we just went to a water park. And I'm seeing just such a difference in the way he's acting and the way like we're hanging out together. So him turning 4 and being this like big boy is just, oh my gosh, it makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's so fun. It's so fun to see every stage that they go through and the changes and differences. And yeah, I love that. What is one book that has either that really stands out to you that's not related to this topic or one that is related to this topic that has kind of changed your life?
Ooh. You know what? As you said, book, they all just because I love like personal development books, like the Rolodex was just going. There is a book that I first read when I was trying to figure out like how I could help women because I was a teacher for a very long time and I knew that I didn't want to do that anymore. And I knew there was a way I can help people. And oh my God, why can't I even think of the book's name? It's by someone who does habits, something about money. Oh, I think it's called like You Can Make Money. I have to actually like find the title. I can't even believe I can't remember it. The actual book has literally changed my life because it gave me, I read that book and I was like, okay, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to make an LLC. And it was just not even so much about making money, but it was so being able to learn about how my struggles can actually help women. And that was the thing that like gave me the push to actually put myself out there, get vulnerable, and talk about everything.
Yeah, which sometimes you need that extra push to do
Yeah, seriously.
that, right?
Yeah.
What is one thing that you've learned from going through this experience that kind of stands out as like a big lesson?
Wow, that's a really, really good question. I think that God or the universe or whatever you look up to and see, whatever you feel is bigger than you, always has a plan. If you were to ask me how long ago that I was going through this because I would be able to help women across 19 different countries do this and have a life where I'm home with my children and just having this purpose of turning my mess into my message, if you would have told me when I was in high school, hey, you're going to go through some really hard crap, but you're going to be a better and bigger person on the other side to be able to do this, I would have laughed and like threw my Oreos in your face. Like I would have had no idea. So I think right now I just have so much gratitude because when you're in a struggle, you have no idea why it's happening. And to be able to be like, wow, I turned this into something that I'm so proud of because I see how it's helping other women. That just shows that, like, that is a plan that I would have never, ever seen back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, and I've seen that so often in my own life and in other people's lives, is the gifts that we get from the struggles that we go through in our lives.
Oh, I love that. The gift that we get. Yeah, because we don't
Yeah.
even think it is one at the time, you know?
No. No, it's like horrible, awful. Why is
Not
this happening to me? You
at
know,
all.
those kind
Exactly.
of things. But
Totally.
Kelly, this has been amazing. How can people find you? How can they follow you? How can they
Yeah,
join you?
absolutely. Well, Megan, thank you so much for having me. I could talk about this stuff all day, but yeah, so you guys can follow me on Instagram, and I'm on TikTok, sort of, at Kelly L Wellness. And there, what I do is I have a free training. If at any point you're like, hey, I'm struggling with this, I need to figure out what's going on. And in that training, we go over why you're stuck, what to do, and how to get started. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And please, I would love to hear, send me a DM. Love to help you, support you. And yeah, Megan, thank you for just letting me share my story and just talk about how we can help more people together.
Yes, that is so awesome.
If you like this podcast and you have been dealing with anxiety, the effects of trauma, or have sometimes wondered why you act or feel a certain way when you logically know it doesn't make any sense, then come work with me, where we can together make a difference for you with anxiety, triggers, and traumas that you've been dealing with so they no longer show up at all. Go to meganhillica.com/beanxietyfree to get started with me, or schedule a free 20-minute consult at the bottom of the page.